Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Yesterday we had the funeral of my brother-in-law. I love to preach funeral. I love it. It is my favorite time to stand and speak, because we certainly, if we preach the truth, we glorify God and the second greatest deliverance of all, which God brings to us, and that's leaving this sin-cursed body in the ground and the spirit and soul going to the Christ above. There is a greater deliverance, and that is when God calls the body from the ground. And it's reunited with the soul and inherits heaven and immortal glory. I love to preach funeral. I don't mind doing a wedding. I'm not going to marry somebody I don't know, because that don't always last. But when you preach a funeral, it's final. It ain't going to change. And my purpose in a funeral is to glorify God who saved His people. I say that to make this point. There were a lot of people there yesterday that I knew. My brother-in-law and sister lived on my beat, so I knew them, became more personally involved with them there, and some of the friends they had and some of the people around him. He played in a band, played in a famous band back in the 70s and 80s when he was younger, and I don't remember the name of it. I wish I did. I meant to ask somebody. But my point behind all this is, when you preach a funeral, and preaching of the gospel is the most important thing a minister is given to do, because he's called to preach. To preach. Some of these men that I know and have known for 25 years who were there, much like myself, live rough lives. They had been on the harder side of life, some of them. And I dare say, by the tears in their eyes and the expression upon their faces, they'd never heard the gospel. Oh, they may have read out of some perversion of scripture that man makes easy for someone to read, that Satan uses to deceive God's people by giving them some other version of Scripture, international version, new version, whatever. We're given the King James 1611. That's quite sufficient. That came from God to an English-speaking people. Amen. We still have it today. I want nothing else. Amen. But with that said, it was evident most of them were not familiar with church. I don't know if some of them have never even gone to church before in their life, or Scripture. And I told my sons last night, it was so exciting and so thrilling to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with men who it was manifested in their eyes, their heart, the soul, and the way they hugged me and each other after the funeral, that God had touched them in the hearing of the gospel. This is fantastic. That was awesome. They'd never heard that before. And my response was always, God is good. Give the glory to God. God touches people in speaking the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's your first part. They've got to believe. How do they believe? They're born of the Spirit. The Jew first and the Greek. I was thankful to be able of a part of sharing the gospel. We weren't in the church. We were in a funeral home. Mm-hmm. Dwelling among the dead, kind of like Lazarus. We were at the graveyard, certainly with the dead. But it was a thrill to me, and it really clarified and defined in my mind why we are to preach the gospel. I don't remember a time that I did not know Christ. I did not know the church. My grandmother brought me here when I was knee-high to a duck. And I've been here by God's grace ever since. I don't remember a time I didn't. Those men yesterday, I saw something in their lives, in their eyes, in their hearts manifested through them by the emotion of love, and God is love, that moved me. And I would exhort every man who is called of God to preach the gospel everywhere the Spirit moves them and everywhere they have a chance to share it. I was going to finish Acts today, or try to, but I want to follow what you've started, because you tied this in with preaching the gospel, and I appreciate that so much. Brother Estes used to make the point, God could have saved you and not ever told you. That's plain old truth, but we do have that knowledge. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" "I, the Son of Man, am." He clarifies it himself when he asks him that, "I, the Son of Man." You've got to understand, Jesus Christ is not only God in the flesh. Revelation 3, Colossians 1, he's the beginning of the creation of God. 1 Corinthians 1, he's the power of God and the wisdom of God. When God spoke, Christ is that wisdom. The infinite, overwhelming, not understandable wisdom of God. When there was nothing but God, and God spoke, and it was. God spoke, and it was. Christ is that wisdom which God spoke, which created all the particles of dust and clay and water and everything that God created. He is the wisdom of that, the power that created it, the power that spoke it, the living Word of God, and the wisdom of God, and knowing how to do it, having the power to do it, and causing it to come forth. That's Christ. That's God. He is our Lord, our Master. The Lord means to be over in every single way. We answered our fathers in the flesh. We answered the men we worked for in the flesh. They are lords over us, the sense of being an earthly father or one who pays you to work and you must do his bidding to work. But the Lord is not just Lord over our family or our employment. He's Lord over our life. He's Lord over every breath. He's Lord over every thought. He's Lord over our life. He's Lord over us when we're living. He's Lord over us when we are dead. He is our Lord and our Master. It is His sovereign right as our Lord to be our Master. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of glory. He is the Son of God, the living Word of God, the second person of the Godhead. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He is the Son of Man because God became flesh. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. Whom do men? It ought to be evident who He is. It ought to be understandable who He is. A child of God born of the Spirit thinks, how could anyone not see that? How could anyone not know who He is? How could anyone not know that this is the Son of God, that this is God Himself manifest in the flesh? Timothy 3:16, for great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is God Himself in the flesh. He proved it, raising the dead, healing the sick, walking upon the face of the earth without sin. But He's the Son of Man because He was born of the Virgin Mary, His Father being God. Therefore, He has no inherited sin. He has no committed sin. And He has no sins of omission, things He should do that are right in the eyes of God but did not do because the flesh was in the way. He is the Son of Man. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Matthew 13 gives us an indication of why they don't understand very briefly and why you do. For unto they asked the Lord, why dost thou speak unto us in parables? Parables were hard to understand. A lot of times he would have to explain unto them what the parable meant. And he plainly told them, this is cut and dried, for unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Unto them it is not given. We can go all the way back to Isaiah 6 when God told Isaiah, he gave him the vision when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up with the cherubims, not angels. The cherubims are not angels and angels are not cherubims. Where the cherubs flew, the seraphims, I'm sorry, not cherubs, seraphims flew around him and they had two wings they covered their faces, for they could not look upon the righteous holy God. With two wings they flew. With two wings they covered their feet, because they were not standing. They were lifted up in the holy righteous power of God. And all they do day and night is cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And he told Isaiah there, upon seeing that, go unto this people, Israel, and tell them that they would see and not perceive, they would hear but would not understand, because they'd made, catch that, they had made their hearts heavy, their eyes they had shut, their ears were deafened, they had done it to themselves, and they would be blinded. It's not given to all of Israel to understand in the day of Christ, the coming of the Christ. That's why he's asking, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, the non-elect, those that God did absolutely nothing to but left them where they sit in the nature of Adam, they cannot know God. They cannot understand God. They cannot see God. They cannot love God. They're in the nature of the flesh. That's of Satan. Therefore, they are hate, 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 that is the nature of flesh. They hate authority. They hate rule. They hate righteousness. Flesh wants me, me, me. It's not given to them to know who the Son of God is. I do believe deep down in their heart they know there is a God, because the Bible says the devils believe and tremble, and I believe that they tremble deep down inside. If they do not at yet this present time, they will before they die, because they're going to realize that before they leave this world. But they do not see him as the Son of Man, the Son of God. And it's not given to them, the nature of flesh, to know in this world. I don't care how much we preach to them. I don't care how much we teach them. I don't care how much we try to help them. They're given over to reprobate mind, and none can change the heart but God. Can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin, or the leper his spots? It is impossible. Only God can change. And that's why it's given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, because God loves you and God changes you in regeneration. God takes away the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, that you will loathe your former self, that you will repent and turn to God. And you'll know God. You'll see God. That's all the work in the hand of God. But he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? There were Jews that were blind, didn't there? There's a man left in his natural state. And then there's the children of God, the sons of God born of the Spirit. Even more so, disciples who follow him in gospel obedience of baptism and coming into the church and coming to church every single chance they have to learn of God. Because when we hunger, we're fed. When we thirst, we are given drink. And if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, then we come to church and we worship God and God blesses us. That blessing is not given to those who do not come. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's unto you, brethren, for unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And they said, relating to the Jews of the day, who were blinded, most of them, some say thou art John the Baptist. Remember, he'd been beheaded. Some Elias, Isaiah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye? You, Steve just told us, he's talking to you, the reader. This book is written to every individual born again child of God. Matthew chapter 1 starts out the generation of Jesus Christ. This book is written to the generation of Jesus Christ. The generation of Jesus Christ is given the ability from God through Christ by the Spirit to read and understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and to know who the Son of Man is. Not just the Son of Man, but the Son of God. The Son of God is one thing. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, in His glory He will stand and judge all mankind, all creation at the end of time. But the Son of Man is different from that in the aspect the Son of Man came to this world to suffer, bleed, and die for you. Therefore, those who know Him as the Son of Man know Him as a God of mercy, a God of love who loved us and died for us. And there's quite a difference in that. Quite an addition, let me say it that way. Quite a blessing in knowing more so. But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, here's old brash Peter, here's the fisherman with calloused hands. Here's the old impudent Peter, I'll draw my sword and cut off your ear. Lord, these people are, shall we slay them? Shall we fight them? Can I see myself in that picture? They're not of us. Thou art the Christ. John 6, he said, for we know and are sure. You're sure. You're sure because God hath revealed it to you. Thou art the Christ. What's the significance? Christ, anointed, Messiah. He whom God would anoint in this world to save His people from their sins, to reign over the house of David, to lead us into salvation, to bring salvation to us, to bring us together, to make atonement with God for us. Break that word down. At one meant we were driven from God. When Adam rebelled against God, Christ has brought us back at one with God. We were at one meant with God. We are redeemed. That means we're bought. The Messiah. The work of God, the hand of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're not only the Son of Man, you're the Son of the living God. You're the anointed of God who came to this world to save His people from their sins. Brethren, do you know that? Has God given you that? Do you have an understanding of that? I wish I had time with some of those people that I saw yesterday with hearts moved with compassion by the Spirit of God to reach out and touch them and say, come and go with me. Come and see the Messiah. Come and learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn more. Have greater peace. Have greater happiness. Amen. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm nothing. It's got to do with Christ. Thou art the Christ. The Son of the living God, by God's grace we know that. How do we know that? Because God has written it upon your heart. God's engraved in you. You. In the palm of His hand. Put that with John 10. My sheep are in my hand and no man plucketh them out. Amen. God said, I have engraved thee, your own person and being, in the palm of my hand. What is His hand? Or should I say, who is His hand? Who is His right arm? Who is His power? It's Christ. You're written in Christ. People want to talk about seeing the book of life. You want to see the book of life? Look at Jesus. He's the book of life. You're written in Christ. He opened that book. He loosed those seals. No man could do it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The God that has no beginning. The God that has no end. Thou art the second person of the Godhead who was made flesh and dwelt among us. I used to misquote that. I've done it for years. Who became flesh? Who became flesh? I became flesh. A sinful man came together with a sinful woman. Two sinful seeds came together, and I became another sinful seed. Christ did not become flesh. Christ is the immortal Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, holy and above all things. He was made flesh. Was made flesh to redeem us from our sins. He had to suffer for us. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed art thou. Do you realize how blessed we are? We've been going through the book of Acts for a year now, and we've been talking about the purpose and the preaching of the gospel. So many today in this world of plenty in which we live, where even our homeless people are overweight and obese because this is a land of plenty, even the poor are blessed with riches in this land. Our poor live far greater than those in third world countries. We have been rocked to sleep in prosperity. Steve mentioned this. We make excuses to stay away from the house of God. Do we not see how blessed we are in the knowledge we have of God? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. How blessed are we to know that God loves us. That God hath given us eternal life in His Son, who loved us so very much that He bore our griefs and our sorrows. He was beaten beyond recognition. He had scars in His back from scourging. He was nailed to a cross, spit upon. This is not just a man, this is God. Because He loved us so much. And our sins were so hideous that it took that for redemption. Blessed art thou. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Lord, help us to see the blessings from above and get off our hands and worship thee. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and this, you're not. My finger points in the mirror, okay? Because I'm looking at myself. I make excuses. I make excuses. I don't want to come most times, a lot of times. I don't want to be here. My flesh steps up. I want to go somewhere else. My flesh desires something else. Don't you ever put a man on a pedestal? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Realize our blessings in magnifying Christ in our bodies. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. The man God calls to preach is evidenced through the going through the book of Acts, is called of God, enabled of God, sustained of God, goes through great hardship many times. Lord, we don't. We just sit back on a pedestal. We push a button, send it across the TV, the internet, or whatever, write articles, put them in a newspaper. We come to church in a nice air-conditioned car with plenty of gas and sit in the building. We don't have hard times. Though men had hard times, we sit back. Flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. How did God reveal it unto thee? Jeremiah, for I will make a new covenant with the household of Israel. I will write my law in their inward parts. God reaches down. Was it D'Angelo? Who painted the picture? I can't remember. But it showed God as an old gray-haired man with great muscles. And this, I don't like the picture in the sense of being true and scriptural because it is not. But it makes a point in your mind of God reaching down into this world for us. Because the picture shows a great strong man with gray hair and God is above time. And that's the only way we can show age is great hair and God is reaching down and touching Adam and forming him. Same way God touches your heart. Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God wrote it upon your heart. For the day has come, behold, the day has come that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers. He said, for they will not just be the rich and the mighty and the powerful coming into the house of God. It will be the poor and the cast out and the downtrodden and sinners, for Christ was a friend of sinners. The Son of Man, a friend of sinners. The Son of God, a friend of sinners. But my Father, which is in heaven, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. Now this is where people get confused a lot. Peter means a stone, a rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. The Lord did not build His church upon Peter.
Right.
Ephesians 4 teaches us, I think it's 4, that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man Himself, being the chief cornerstone. Peter is a stone. Many times he was a stone of offense to the Lord. He'd tell him, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest the things of man and not the things of God. Peter is a stone. People draw pictures of Peter standing at heaven, at the gates of heaven with a big gold key at the big gold gate and a big old book of a roll call. Peter going to check you off or send you to hell. That's nothing to do with Peter. That is a heresy. That is a lie. That is false. That is deception. How much plainer can I say it? You enter heaven on the merit of the blood of Christ and nothing else.
Amen.
When Christ separates the sheep from the goats and looks upon the sheep and says, come my blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's how you get into heaven in immortal glory. In Christ. In Christ and His blood and Him alone. Peter is a sinner. Mary is a sinner. James was a sinner. John was a sinner. Paul, it's evident from the book of Acts, was a sinner. I am vilest of all, me, myself, speaking of He whom I see when I look in the mirror. It will not be Peter who judges us. We're judged in the blood of the Son of God. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What is our judgment? Because Christ died for us. Come, ye blessed of my Father, in Christ's blood. Not Peter. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what's rock? I will build my church. What is his whole context about? What is he teaching these disciples, preaching to them, bringing life and immortality to light? What is he teaching them? It's not your merit. It's not your works. Your very nature is sin. I'm building this church upon the rock of revelation, the rock of knowledge, the rock, the solid foundation of God writing His law upon your inward parts. What does revelation begin with? Go back to John chapter 1. You find written therein, I'm going to Revelation, but I'm talking about John 1, that no man in John 1 has seen God at any time, yet the only begotten Son of God who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He hath declared Him in your heart. Therefore you know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Therefore you know Christ. Revelation chapter 1 begins. Oh, that's a fearful book. I'm so afraid. Pray and study. This is a very simple book. The revelation. Christ hath manifested the Son of God. John chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation, the manifestation of God the Father through the Son. The revelation of Jesus Christ. How do we know God? No man cometh to the Father except by me, and no man cometh unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. We know God through Christ. When Moses came up to the bush that burned with fire and was not consumed, he spoke to an angel. He said, "Loose thy shoes from off thy feet. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground." That is Christ. There's no way to know God. There's no way to see God. There's no way to hear God except through Christ. He is the one and only mediator. He is the translator. He is the only one. So when we have the revelation of Jesus Christ, He is manifesting to us God the Father, for He is in the bosom of the Father. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, God gave it to Christ, the Son of Man, to give unto you, for unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Do you realize how much God loves you? He didn't leave you here in a barren, strange land without knowledge. Without hope, the earnest expectation in Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. You're the servant. You're the child of God. You personally, put your name there, Steve said. You are the servant of God. God gave this to Christ to give unto you. That you might know things which must shortly come to pass. And that's what's in the book of Revelation, the finished work of Jesus Christ, and nothing else. And I will give unto thee, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock of Revelation I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They built cities with walls. Jerusalem was a city with a wall. That was the first Jerusalem. Second Jerusalem is the one you're in now, here in this world. Third Jerusalem is above and it's free. That's heaven and immortal glory. The walls kept out enemies. It had a gate. I will, upon this rock, I will build my church. Your soul, your heart, God giving it life in Christ. Revealing Himself unto you in Christ. Upon this rock, knowledge, I will build my church. That's the New Testament church, those born of God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Satan can cause you in this body of flesh to have cancer and Alzheimer's and heart attacks and be crippled, spinal bifida, however that's pronounced. All the things that trouble us in this world, the result of sin, the result primarily and eventually to Satan, who rebelled against God and led Adam astray. He can cause you to die. He can kill the body if God suffers it, but he can only do what God suffers him to do. Job proves that. But I will tell you this. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He can do nothing to take you from the hand of God. And as long as we stay in this kingdom and follow God, you will always have that knowledge of God. We walk away, we lose knowledge. We abandon, we lose knowledge. Tribe of Dan left their inheritance. They're not mentioned in the Bible anymore. If we leave our inheritance in this world, temporally speaking, we won't have it anymore. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because it is safe and it is secure. Let's close with this, and you understand this. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's not talking about heaven and immortal glory above. Christ is the only one with the key. You can go to Isaiah 22 and find that He has the key. You can go. He opens the gate, and none can shut it. You go to Revelation 1, He said, "Behold, I hold the keys of hell and death." Revelation 1, I believe, starting about 18. He says, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." So what's he talking about? Keys to what? The kingdom of God here in this world. The church. The church. People come forth asking for home, the church. You take them in. You love them. They're bound here. Whatever they bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. That's not saying whoever we get to come into the church is going to go to heaven because they came in the church. It's quite the reverse. They are given eternal life and will inherit glory, so therefore they come into the church to worship God. It's evidence of that. They said, I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose, because sometimes we have to get rid of people, on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Can't have a family, home, government, or nation without discipline. But it ought to be highly tempered with mercy. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. They knew, but at that point in time, he told them, don't tell anybody, because the fullness of the time was not yet come.